Well, first off, I was really honored to be selected. Nearly, I know it seems like a long time ago, but it is 20 years ago. I was part of the team that got the site there actually recognized for National Historic Landmarks, and I did a lot of research in the 1876 Plains Indian Wars, in particular the Great Sioux and Cheyenne War. And we have this event every year that our community on. We actually helped with the powwow when I was younger, and the state park had asked me to be the keynote for this event, which is the 150th anniversary of the actual event in the Great Sioux War itself. It's a very historic, important event, and it's just local for us because it's just, not more than 20 miles from where I was raised here in Busby, Montana. I'm actually here now, and we have events every year to commemorate the victory, and being selected to be the keynote is really a real honor. The main thing that I think they want to hear, and what most people want to hear nowadays, is the native perspective on significant events and significant places, cultural events and historical events like this particular battle here. My keynote address, which I'm continuing to draft right now, is going to address. Is going to talk about a lot of things about this war and the Cheyenne perspective and how we perceive this war. This is actually, this Rosebud Valley, the Rosebud Creek, is our homeland. In fact, one of our chiefs, a couple of our chiefs, were born at this exact spot where Busby, Montana, is located. And the valley, the creek, actually goes all the way up to where the battle began. And the camp was here in 1876 when the Sioux and Cheyenne coalition and the Arapahoes were being chased by the federal government. A long string of events that had taken place months before, years before, actually, with the discovery of gold in the Black Hills. Of course, the Black Hills were secured through a treaty. There are two main treaties in question here. The first is the 1851 treaty, which secured lands, and the Great Sioux Reservation, of which the Northern Cheyenne were part of, in the Bear Butte region, is where our homelands were secured. And it eventually led to some conflict with the construction of another, trail, the Bozeman Trail, that cut through the homelands. And obviously, it led to the first war of contention in this area, was the what they call Red Clouds War, and eventually led to the defeat of the United States government. And I think the Sioux and Cheyenne coalition had brokered a peace agreement and signed a new peace agreement with the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty, which is the one that's most cited nowadays. The lands had transitioned to unceded shared hunting territory. This portion of the land in particular, of course, the Great Sioux Reservation, was the boundaries were redrawn to include the Black Hills. But in 1876, or 1874, General George Armstrong Custer, he wasn't a general then, he led an expedition and found gold. And in the 1868 treaty provision, required that three-fourths of the adult males sign be the requirement was that three-fourths of the adult males sign and give consent for any land to be transferred from the tribal nations to the federal government. So, long story short, I mean, in 1876, the federal government wanted the gold, and they wanted the Indians to sign it away. So they issued a proclamation to get all the Indians that were out in this area hunting, exercising their treaty rights and their rights from, historical and traditional practices, to come back to the reservation and sign this treaty. But that communications, obviously, back in the day, they didn't have text messaging or emails or anything like that. It takes a while for folks to get the message, but unlike popular belief, it wasn't just the United States government just showing up. There was a battle that occurred earlier in March, in which Reynolds, he had come to a Cheyenne village thinking that they were hostile, thinking that they were going against the United States government's orders when in fact they're actually returning to the reservation because they had just finished their hunting expedition. But they were attacked. And that Reynolds battle, which just happened, they call it the Powder River Battle. That attack on the village really what spurred this war, really added fuel to the fire. And they were like, "What the heck are you doing? Why are you attacking us?" But a lot of folks were, they lost a lot of property. The natives, their village was burned, and their horses were killed. There's something like 900 horses were captured. More than half of them were slaughtered. But it just, and then the survivors escaped and met up with Crazy Horse, and that solidified their resistance against the United States government. And 9 months, 3 months after that, they're coming. The Sioux and Cheyennes are coming through this territory, and they find out that General Crook is on their way to attack yet another village, which is something that is common in this history. And I think it's misunderstood that this in Plains Indian history, it's always there's always a perception or idea that Indians are attacking peaceful settlers when in fact it's the opposite. The federal government and at the time, the United States Army would attack an Indian village. So to prevent that, you had a lot of folks leave the village in this area and go to a battleground just further up creek, which is where the entire battle ensued. The battle is really really is unique in that there was an equal number of combatants. It wasn't a village being attacked. And it was what I would say would be a fair fight, aside from the United States, of course, having a significant amount of scouts on their side, which I think without the scouts, the native scouts, I think that Crook's army would have been practically annihilated, just like General Custer's was.